GAA on Off the Ball.
Now you're welcome along. So we are joined in studio by Darren O'Sullivan and Barry Cowell for the week that's in it. Lads, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
No problems.
We're going to get on to why you're in a moment. You're working with AIB. There's an interesting competition they've put together for fans of Mayo, Kerry, Dublin and Tyrone. I presume you've been doing interviews all day. 2011 must have come up.
Just once or twice.
I brought it up a few times.
The two number 11s from that day, actually.
Yeah. True, yeah. Number 11 on my back. Yeah. Didn't quite play centre forward, but...
Where was your role that day? What was your job at that stage? You'd been very much in the half-back line.
Yeah, half-back line would have been my preferred role and probably played majority of my career there, but midway through 2010 on the back of the Mead debacle, myself and Brian Cullen were sort of pushed from half-back line into the half-forward line, more in a defensive system.
Yeah.
Defensive role slightly, and then let the four lads do the damage. Bernard and Alan, Dermo and Flinner would have done a lot of the scoring then.
You weren't dreamt up as the answer to their scoring woes.
No, absolutely not. We were losing a lot of game, a lot of the bigger games and high scores, so yeah. I think step number one was to try and consolidate our defence and what we're leaking, and then we always felt confident enough you'd get enough maybe to get over the line in front.
And so it transpired. You said that you were writing in the Sports Chronicle about this, Darren, and I saw you say that the 2011 All-Ireland final was a killer blow. We played ourselves into a winning position. It was familiar territory for us. More often than not, we killed off the game at that point. It was devastating. To this day, I can't explain how or why we let that one slip. It sounds like 2011 is the low point for you of all the finals.
Yeah, it is. And to be fair, I was lucky enough to play in quite a lot of finals, win a good few and lose a few. But yeah, like that. We'd been in that position before, would be in that position again and wouldn't make the same mistakes. But like that, at the same time, you have to credit Dublin. They kept going. Mm. Do you know other teams? And I think it had been a long time since Dublin had actually beaten us in championships. So normally when you're in that position against a team that you're used to beating, they'd normally kind of
fold.
Fold, exactly. Yeah. And they kept going and we paid the price for it.
Mm. Have you watched it back?
No.
What's your memory of the final kind of 5 minutes? Any big moments stand out or trends or things that stick in the mind?
Just the ball hitting the net. I remember the ball hitting the net and the noise, and I remember automatically thinking, geez, I need to get on ball, because I was very confident that year I was playing quite well and I was like, I need to get on the ball. And it was just a noise. Like, I'd never heard anything like it. You know, there's noise when you come out, but the noise when the ball hit the back of the net was deafening, and it was the first time I'd say I've ever noticed noise while I was playing. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, because usually the crowd is very much a background thing.
Yeah, like you just don't pay attention. I'll never forget that day hearing it when the ball hit the net. And you could feel it.
Yeah.
You could feel it, like, and you could feel their confidence grow, the crowd starting to believe, and I was just sort of like, they'd get on ball, and then there was the free, which seemed to take an eternity, and then all of a sudden it was over. And you're like...
Yeah. It wasn't long after the free was over, I watched it back this morning.
Yeah, like
it was pretty much a kick out where ye all retreated back.
Yeah.
I know you were on the bench at that stage, you'd come off, but ye all retreated back.
Yeah, but
no press.
One kick pass from Kerry, and they could have been well inside our half if Joe McQuillan had given another 5 or 10 seconds, which thank God he didn't.
Fair play to you, you're admitting it.
No, it was over the 2 minutes of injury time at this stage, so he's well within his right.
But it was just about a minute and a half to walk up and kick the ball.
Yeah, well, Bernard
and more.
Waving them down. Yeah.
But like that's the thing, like, I suppose that was probably the start as well of the goalies coming up to take kick out or taking free kicks.
It felt like a very novel thing.
Yeah, I was like, geez, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But like nowadays it would be added on because it's more common and stuff. But I just remember, like, even after the game, it's over and Dublin are celebrating and you're just sitting there on the pitch and you're looking around like, going, what's just happened? Yeah. Like, because it's just
not meant to happen to us.
Yeah.
I'm sure Stephen wasn't touched from the goal line to getting the ball to hit the free, whereas on Sunday, if the same thing happened,
he'd be hit
all
right.
A few lads chatting
helping
to him and
up.
Helping him up and that type of thing. So, yeah, it was definitely novel, all right.
You mentioned the noise there. What was the makeup of the crowd? Was it 60% dubs, 70% dubs, more? Do you remember?
Well, naturally enough, you will have neutrals at the game, you know, on a final occasion, and minor supporters as well. But I'd say probably could be 65.
Like back then, like, I think most people would have been looking for Dublin to win. Like,
I know they were the plucky underdogs.
The amount of well wishes we got from other counties around Ireland before and then over the winter
it's
celebrating.
Changed now. It's changed
completely
now.
The opposite now.
You said as well that you got back to the dressing room. This is in your Sports Chronicle piece. I thought it was interesting. And you checked your phone No Twitter back then, I would have thought. 2011, not really. A lot of people joined around kind of 11. It wasn't the phenomenon it had become. So you checked your phone. You said, I saw the first text message. It said something like, hard luck. I don't know if this meant to help or not. It said, hard luck, you were 5 minutes away from another medal, man of the match and player of the year.
Yeah, there was more to it, like, but that was the gist of it. I just remember going, like, there was a lot of messages.
Yeah.
And I just remember I flicked into a few and I just didn't know what to do, to be honest. I was just sitting there.
Sure.
I went, oh, Jesus. Phone off and down. Like, I was, oh.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, there was not badness in it. It was just reality.
It was trying to say you'd done well.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like,
yeah.
You could do no more. Mm. Like, and it literally was. It was 5 minutes where the whole year went to pot.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And I was like going, yeah, I know that now, thanks. But yeah, like it was like there was nothing wrong with it. It was badness. He was more or less saying,
you did all you could do.
You did
a great year.
Yeah, and yeah. But
I think Kerry or maybe Architects is their own downfall to a certain
degree. Don't rub it in there, Barry. Jeez.
We were chatting about it earlier. Like 2007, we had a really tough battle in the All-Ireland semi-final.
Mm.
And that's probably under Pillar Caffrey, we were at our peak at that stage and probably the second best team in the country. Brought them to the wire, but Kerry kept the ball for the last 2 or 3 minutes with brilliant football and decision making, and eventually worked the ball across the pitch a couple of times, and I think Declan O'Sullivan kicked a lovely point to seal the win. Whereas in 2011, there was a bit of that keep ball taking place with a few minutes to go, but they were maybe doing it in their own half, like in their half back line midfield. Whereas when they did it against us, they were doing it, you know, 30 or 40 yards from our goal, which is the right place to do it, you know. So, and you know, one little turnover or one straight pass, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a goal opportunity there, and the crowd get behind it and everything like that. And that's sort of how it transpired.
As Darren says, they were very used to All Ireland finals.
Mm.
You lads less so.
Yeah.
What's your memory of that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday period?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, there was obviously massive relief within our group because we'd been, you know, very close in a lot of Ireland semi-finals against Mayo, Kerry, Tyrone, was it, or Armagh even back in 2002, and in Cork in 2010. So big relief getting to the final initially. We'd only 3 weeks to the final, but in fairness to Pat Gilroy and the management team, they got a lot of distractions out of the way very early. The media day, the supporters event on the pitch, tickets, suits, all that type of stuff got done within 3 or 4 days, similar to the process Jim has in place now. But
how many tickets would you get?
Actually got a lot of tickets.
Did you?
Yeah.
And did you need more? Did you have to go hunting? Were you in and
out? No, I was happy with my lot. I think I had about 36 tickets or something like that.
Right.
I thought we'd only get half that.
And did you sell them for a profit or how'd it work?
Yeah, we got a nice breakaway there in Marbella over the winter. I know, usually you try and pass them on to family members and then they get rid of them for you.
Is that what you do? So you don't want your phone hopping?
No.
I'm going to give them to... Yeah, I don't know, who did you give him to, a chosen person in the family, and said, you deal with it, you're my...
Yeah, my brother Mark, or maybe my dad, or someone like that. But certainly, you know, you'd think people wouldn't be hassling you for tickets coming out to an All-Ireland final. But like, Dublin hadn't been there in 16 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the interest in it was just off the charts.
Well, you had to be there if you were a Dubs fan. You know, you couldn't potentially miss it.
Yeah.
So you're going to text at like 11:30 on Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, and plus you're so contactable, you know, in terms of social media, Facebook or even LinkedIn back then, texting and WhatsApp wouldn't have been there. So that was helpful. But yeah, there was a few distractions like that. But we went away to Blessington.
Right.
For the weekend of the hurling final for 3 or 4 days. Mm. Got a lot of really good quality work done. We actually didn't analyse much of the Donegal game because it was such a freak game to play in. There was no point analysing
it. Play like that.
No, exactly. So we focus a lot on ourselves and what we're doing and then obviously the opposition. But and then the week beforehand, we would have had an A versus B game on the Sunday afternoon at 3:30 just to rehearse the thing out in DCU. We actually did a parade. Pat Gilroy pretended to be Mary McAleese as the president, shaking hands and all this. So, you know, there was 30 of us.
Say hi Mary or hi president? Or
I don't know.
He covered every angle.
Yeah, I mean, there was 35 lads on the panel probably training. No one had experienced the final before.
And
so
were there like raised eyebrows and giggles that you were doing the parade, or were you in a place where you wanted no stone one turned and you were kind of
we could see the reason we're with you here, Pat.
We think this is a good idea. It was exactly, more that mindset.
Yeah, no one wanted to sort of take the tone of it differently. Like everyone wanted to just we're here for a reason. Like you're playing a training match. Now it was probably only about a 30-minute training match, and obviously not going to too heavy, but there was still a fair bit at stake. Lads trying to make inroads, get into the panel, move up the pecking order and the subs. So it was quite a serious couple of hours. And then when it was over, obviously you're trying to have a bit of crack with the guys.
Do you sleep in your own bed Saturday night?
Yeah, not a bother. Got married the year before, so slept in my own bed. I think we went to the cinema the night before. I think I probably watched a bit of the Up for the Match.
Did you? Yeah.
Just to kill a bit of time, a bit of novelty. I think Alan and Bernard's dad was on it.
Right.
Chatting about Kerry, Dublin rivalry and all that. 20 minutes to that, but slept fine. Same routine the next morning. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, it's good for Dublin players that you're in your own bed the night before a match and you have those routines that you meet up in DCU the next morning. You're excited to meet up with the lads. You know, you instead of killing the morning, you want to have the crack with the lads because everyone feeling the same way. Bit of pressure, bit of excitement, bit of nerves, bit of novelty-ness to it. So
excitement. There must be a comfort blanket to, you know, park the car, get out and see all the lads. And you're
Grand. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The stress is shared a little bit.
Yeah, here. Yeah. You're not killing time anymore. The chit-chat with your wife or family is finished with. Yeah. And you're there now. You're in the moment. You're in the occasion. And it's whatever. I'd say it was probably 11:30, 12:00. We met up for a 3:30 throw-in. So it was great to just chill there and get ready.
Were you doing parades in Kerry?
No, we didn't do that. Maybe we should have.
Rose of Tralee was probably on around that time. It was about the height.
No, we didn't do no parades.
Do you have a sense that year that this was a very, very different proposition to the start of Earwigs Dublin? Did you know this is actually, this is new, this is different, these are in a different place? Or on some level, did you think we probably have their number if we play near our best here?
Oh, never thought this was a different Dublin. To be honest, didn't worry. Oh, you knew their threats. Sure. You knew how good they were. But we were in a great place. We were for 65 or 6 minutes of that game too.
Yeah.
We knew that, we knew their threat. We knew how good they were. But we obviously knew how good we were too. And we expected to get over the line. But it wasn't like you went into it thinking, oh, we'll be fine here. It was just about focusing. It was like, we've been in that position before. We'd been in finals. You just trust the process, you trust what got you there at the same stage. So like obviously we'd earmark certain players, you have to mark, you know, you'd focus on certain aspects, but no, it was like you're playing Dublin, it's an All Ireland final, trophy medal at the end of it, get your job done. No, it was, we didn't change anything up, nothing we wouldn't have done before.
Did anything about what they did on the day surprise you?
Yeah, beat us. not really, no. It was like you go back to 07, we didn't play in 08, and 07 was very tight, and it was funny around about we were back and forth to pitch. I did something with you down in, with Nathan down in Clarny, and Pat Shea was there.
Right.
And he had said, that pillar that she said to him when we were keeping ball, you have a free man on the other side, because the noise was so much, he knew, it was kind of a, we can't do anything about this, and it actually did end up going across, Pat was saying that they were close together, and he was there, he just said to Pat Shea, you have a free man over there,
right.
And they kind of laughed about it, because there was nothing they could do, and
communicated
on. Do you know, and it was funny when you mentioned that we were keeping the ball back, and it went across it, and that's exactly what happened. But the boys knew that it was out of their hands. But not the rivalry was building. There was always going to be that, but there wasn't much between the teams. We knew that. That it was coming for a while. And Dublin had been, like you said, they'd started to tweak the defence a small bit, and
we beat them in the league up a couple of times, which definitely helped us anyway.
Did it? Because later on, when we talked about the match, obviously Kerry beat Dublin earlier in the year. I was going to ask, does it have any bearing? Yeah.
Well, it did. I mean, we beat them in Clarny in 2010. It started the league. Now, Kerry obviously won the All-Ireland the year before, so we're very much only getting back into their training phase, so maybe not a huge amount of value on that one. But we beat them in March of that year in the league, very high scoring game, pinched the game by a point. So certainly beating Kerry in Croke Park gave us something.
Right.
You know, Absolutely, and we played them then 6 months later in the All-Ireland final and beat them by a point. So I think there was an element in that that definitely helped us, knowing that we got that victory under our belt. So, you know, people talk about the league and the pros and cons. And
they dismiss it almost.
Yeah, exactly. But for a lot of us who played that night and Kerry had a strong team out, you know, it definitely meant something for us and just helped fuel our belief, I suppose, in the conversations leading into the final.
And Barry, I asked Aaron there, did he sense a difference between the Startled Earwigs Gilroy team and the 2011 team? There obviously must have been many things that were different. How would you differentiate, how would you explain what had happened to you, even mentally as a group, between Gilroy's first year and then 2011?
Yeah, well, a lot of it changed after that 2009 quarterfinal hammering by Kerry. You know, that winter, Pat basically trolled the county up and down and had trial matches and pulled players from intermediate clubs, junior clubs. You know, Michael Darren McCauley was only playing a small bit of GA at that point and he was pulled in. So a lot of these fresh guys came into the dressing room in January 2010. And like, really, I didn't know them. And as a club player, you would know a lot of the good players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you would have come across them, you would have heard about them. There was lads arriving in the dressing room, Mick Fitzsimons, I never heard these guys, you know. So there was certainly a bit of freshness to it. And a bit more steel about the guys as well. You could see that in the training matches and as evolved. You know, we possibly could have got an All-Ireland in 2010. We were 6 or 7 points up against Cork and they beat Down in the final. You know, there was definitely an opportunity there. But I think Pat just basically, you know, ripped up the script at the end of 2009, started from scratch. It took probably the full 18 months to get there. But a lot of it was around culture and you know, try and develop the players into a more team ethos. So instead of putting out the best 15 individual players, putting out the best 15 collective, knowing that there's maybe a bit of individual star quality on the bench to bring in, but not to start them, you know.
And would it be fair to say, was there any element of individualism about Dublin's play up until that point? You know, forwards wanting to take their score in front of the hill, that kind of stuff. These criticisms would be thrown at that Dublin team. Did you sense that from within ever?
I'd say there was probably an element of it, yeah. You know, certain players probably got a little bit more media attention than maybe other guys probably felt, and there was a bit of resentment there. You know, as well documented, there was lads who'd score points or goals and they'd go off celebrating for a couple of minutes nearly, and you'd be like, when are they going to come back onto the pitch, you know? Whereas, you know, Kevin McMenamin scores a goal in the final and straight away he's trying to point at lads to pick up for a short kick out. So there was little things like that Pat had changed. You're not going to change it overnight. Mickey Whelan would have been instrumental behind the scenes as well. And in that regard,
because, you know, it's interesting, various sporting teams talk about like a change of culture and it's this vague thing. Does something like, for instance, the celebrations, you know, it's a small enough thing, but obviously it's the team in the microcosm as well.
Yeah.
Would something like that be addressed specifically? Like, would something be said about that? Or would it just sort of happen by osmosis because other bigger things were changing? You know, like, do you go around with each individual thing and talk about it specifically, or how does culture change?
Yeah, Pat would be obviously leading from the front along with maybe a few of the senior members of the squad. But yeah, he would have said, called people out on that.
Right.
Yeah, in front of the group. And then, you know, I remember after 2009, he would have called out Bernard for maybe not tracking back players. Thomas Sullivan ran the length of the pitch to kick a point. And then the next year, great examples of Bernard. You know, he went on to win Football of the Year, but he was putting in as many tackles as any of the defenders. And was it the Tyrone game, I think 2010 quarterfinal, which was a big win for this group against a lot of, you know, three-time All-Ireland winners. Bernard was man of the match. And the interview after the game, he came across so humble and so, you know,
about the team
ethos. Like, he couldn't have been any more praiseworthy in terms of his teammates and the group and stuff like that. Maybe it would have been a slightly different interview 2 or 3 years earlier, you know, from certain players in the group. So a lot of that sort of fed into it bit by bit. And, you know, gradually you either get on board with it or you're gone. That's pretty much, either move with the times or you're moved on.
So you stopped resenting him then?
Yeah, I was like, Bernard, give us a few of those media gigs.
Yeah. Super value, I'm here, says Barry. That's interesting to do it in front of the group.
Yeah,
I guess if he's calling out Bernard in front of the group, it sends a message to everyone.
Exactly, so it's not behind closed doors, you know, and Bernard and other guys would have been more than comfortable happy. Taking it.
How much does it nag at you now, Darren? You've plenty of medals in the bank, you've a great career behind you. Is it something you lose sleep over, think about from time to time? Where is it in the spectrum of pain?
It wouldn't be something I lose sleep over. It's easy to kind of try and forget about it when it doesn't get brought up this week. It's tougher.
It's genuinely tough.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You'd get kind of a bit...
Yeah, I'm depressed sitting here. It is. It's
seriously?
Yeah, genuinely. I hate thinking about it, to be honest. If you pooled all the wins together, I wouldn't remember much about any of the games.
Yeah.
Whereas you remember, like you mentioned 2010, 2010 sticks for me because we were awful against Down, and I always look, jeez.
Good enough to beat them.
Yeah. Like all the ones where you let it slip or you're just not at it for whatever reason, they're the ones that stick with you, and it does, it gnaws at you, and the worst thing about it is you can't change it.
Of course, it's done.
So it always makes it worse because I was lucky enough to play for 14 years. I was lucky enough to win All Ireland when whatever I won.
Yeah.
But all I think about is the ones we didn't.
It's such a cliche.
It is, I know. And I'm ungrateful, but you always want more.
How many did you win?
Won four. Lost four. And lost a minor.
And lost a minor, which is dumb.
I'm still tick over the Southern four minor
game. Fella.
Yeah.
Who did you lose the minor to?
Tyrone.
Well, that was a sign of things to come.
Yeah, lost the following year to them in the seniors. It was depressing.
And the minor. Four from four. Four of four, yeah. I could see how maybe the strike rate, you don't love it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are we done?
No. Okay, fair enough. It's interesting because I genuinely thought this chat would be, you know, chummy, chummy, happy, but you're kind of like, this isn't fun for me talking about this in a genuine way.
Yeah, no, I think most fellas would be like, do you know, if you go back to, especially games where you think, like, it was such a big occasion. Mm-hmm. Kerry Dublin, All-Ireland final, hadn't happened in, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Like I said, for 60-odd minutes, we looked like we were 4 points up. I think it was 66 minutes or 65. Mm. Most of the game gone.
Yeah, feeling good.
Yeah, feeling good. Form was good. Players were playing well. Mm. And we left it slip. Do you know, no, obviously, they had a lot to do with that as well. It's not like we threw it away. No, we didn't.
You're talking about your perspective.
Yeah, but it's bound to, like, you wouldn't be, you're not bitter about it, but you'd always, like, it's like every sports person, you'd always think of the one that you let go.
Yeah.
And I'd always feel that was the one we genuinely let go of.
Do you feel, this is a bizarre question to ask a fellow with four All-Irelands, do you feel like he underachieved?
I think we could have won more, yeah. I was a minor in 2004. We lost that one. But Kerry were there 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, we got four in that time.
Mm. And it was such a great team.
Yeah. Do you know, like, I always look at that team, like, I look at the forwards. Donny was going to start every game. Gooch was going to start every game. Galvin was going to start every game. Declan was going to start. But some people go, oh, that's not fair. But I always maintain that's the reason why we were that good. Do you know, and you're the same in the backs. You had probably about 10, maybe 11, guaranteed to start.
Mm.
And it just, like, it just, confidence in them players, like, they were obviously legends of the game as well. But just their understanding and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely felt like...
Really good level of comfort, I'd say, amongst
the group. Yeah, and I think that's important.
At that level.
And I think that's very important team. Yeah. I think Kerry are building that at the moment with their younger lads. That, you know, there's certain lads have been told, because I think... What it does is, if things aren't going right, you still have the confidence where you're not looking over your shoulder that I'll be whipped off here if I have another wide or if I turn over another ball.
Yeah.
And I think Jack obviously instilled that confidence in that team, and then Pat Shea had it, and then Jack was back. So I definitely think, like, I wouldn't, like, underachieve is...
It's a strongish word.
Yeah, but I definitely think we left it behind an All-Ireland or two.
Yeah, yeah. And you, like, because you list out the players there, like, it's outrageously good. And I think any great team, I know you're a Man United fan, like, any great team, if you can reel off the starting team or thereabouts, it's always a sign, I think, of a good team. Like, I'm sure the 98-99 team, it just bang, bang,
bang. Out, yeah.
Yes, it's there. So, in terms of players, phenomenal. Like, do you feel, this is doing a disservice to Tyrone, but they got you tactically on the hop once or twice. Can you explain why you feel you sort of left him behind? Is it that Tyrone maybe had you tactically? Is that a fair thing to say?
They might have got us tactically, yeah. I think we just struggled against their style of play at the time. 2008 was obviously one I think that I was hoping to start that game, didn't get the start.
Mm.
Bit sour over that.
Yeah.
But
let's list off all the grievances.
Yeah. But I just think that they're only little tweaks. We just struggled against Tyrone and their style of play.
Yeah, and they happened to have that great team at that time.
Yeah, so it's not, you're not taking anything away from them. They were top quality.
Class,
like,
yeah.
And you'd always, but it's like,
but they had that bite as well.
Yeah, they had that bite that nobody else really had at the time.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to say they weren't worth three All-Irelands.
No, that's the thing. Like, they were worth it.
But they did. They sort of peaked and then took a year or two off as
every
well.
Every second year.
Again, you know? Yeah. So we seem to play them in their peak years, unfortunately.
So it's really the Dubs in 2011. That's the one.
No, that is, yeah.
Yeah. Right. To round that chat off, then, and we'll move on to a quick word on Sunday. I understand you headed from Marbella on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of town.
Yeah.
What did you do?
The week was a blur.
It was magic.
It was unbelievable. Like, the Sunday night, we stayed in the Burlington till all hours. I think I got to bed about 7, and then Alan Brogan knocked on my door at 7:30. So we got up.
To sleep or to get back up?
To get back up and go in a taxi to the Boar's Head. So that was where it kicked off. We had a brilliant Monday, you know, out in Merrion Square at the homecoming.
You did Merrion Square?
We did, yeah.
Smithfield is very much now the place.
Yeah. So we did Merrion Square. Again, everything was novel to us. You know, out to Skerry's then on the bus, to Brian Cullen's club. Okay. Great crack going out on the bus on the way back. Everyone was just wrecked and asleep. And then there was stuff on the Tuesday. Wednesday, we played a match in Parnell Park, you know, the charity match. Yeah. So we were out that night, I think, in Vincent's.
Everyone
in
pulled a hamstring that night, I'd say, did they?
Guinness, Arthur's Day was on the Thursday, so that was another reason to be out. Friday, we were, I think, on the late. Saturday, out again. So we did 7 good nights in a row. Sunday, I went back club training. Mm. And we had an important club match the following week against Nafina, which we got over. And I was fortunate enough with the club, Bridges, we went on a good club run. We won the Dublin Championship that year. So. Didn't actually get to celebrate a huge amount after that because you were focused. You were playing Ballyboden and Crokes and Ballymun and all these top teams every week, so you couldn't afford to be out socialising with lads that you're going to, you know, try and batter the following week and all that. But yeah, it was a phenomenal week the week after, just meeting up with friends and family members, then obviously doing the tour of the schools, bringing the Sam Maguire back to your club and all that. It was just
so
magic
all of that
time.
Lived up to expectation, did it? Because I was listening, Eamon Dunphy does a podcast and he reposted a chat with Joe Brolly recently. It was a brilliant chat. They talk about various things. And Brolly remembered being in the showers in 93 afterwards, saying to a teammate,
anticlimax.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Is this the summit?
No, we absolutely were the complete opposite to that. Like, the giddiness and the elation in our dressing room, and then we had a bit of time to ourselves in the warm-up room in Croke Park, just the squad and management and the cup. And then obviously headed out and got on the bus going back from Croke Park to the Burlington was just unreal, because you obviously had all the Dublin supporters lying in the streets.
Winning,
you know,
it in your hometown.
Like, yeah, again.
In All-Ireland, Killarney or something.
Yeah. So amazing. The reception and everything we got then. So yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
You're both here with AIB. They have a new video that you're promoting and we'll come to in 1 second. A word on the final Sunday. I was talking to one inter-county manager, Curran, who wouldn't thank me for naming him, but he'd be very familiar with both sides, we'll put it that way, this year. And he didn't take any joy in saying it, but he said, gun to my head, 8, 9, 10 points Dublin, was how he saw the game. Work back from that. That's worst case scenario, I presume. Realistic?
Yeah. Could it happen? Could happen. I think no other team that's played Dublin, like, they're all getting hit for 6, 7, 8, 9 points. I don't think it will happen. I think it'll be tighter. I think Kerry are up against it because I think they're here a year early, 2 years even.
Okay.
Can Kerry cause an upset? I think they can. But I think it all depends on how the pressure hits, the 5-in-a-row pressure hits these Dublin players. I don't think we've seen it affect them at all.
The hype even this week.
No,
it's there. Like, I'm not walking around seeing 5-in-a-row banners everywhere around town. Yeah. It's very like.
Jim Gavin took them all down.
I know. Jim is playing a blinder this year.
Isn't he?
Yeah, but like, there hasn't been much talk. Now, I know Kerry, a few people in Kerry dug a hole there by mentioning the referee, and that just grew legs. Mm. But genuinely, you're not hearing a whole pile about the 5-in-a-row. My honest opinion is that Kerry have done very well to get here. Now it's a final. You don't want to lose a final, and finals are there to be won. But I think a lot of it will depend on how the pressure does affect these Dublin players. Now, it's never affected them before, so there's no reason why it might affect them now. Mm. I'm just fingers crossed that it does.
It does, yeah. Because even against Mayo, you know, say half-time that Mayo game, and that was the first time the 5-in-a-row was really on the line because it was suddenly knockout. jeez, yep. I mean, talk about taking that in their stride and coming out with the most devastating 12 minutes we've ever seen. Mm. There's no sign of panic in that dressing room. What has to happen from a Kerry point of view for you, like when you look at various matchups or various aspects of the field? And I know the easy answer here is kind of everything needs to go right.
Yeah.
But in particular, say Dublin are Dublin, where can Kerry get at them?
I think it's no secret Kerry's best form of attack is their attack.
Go for it.
Do you know, and I just feel like you look back to the Mayo game. I think if Kerry got that dominance over Mayo, we would make it count more so. I think our forwards will have to be very ruthless and clinical in attack.
Mm.
It's nearly a case you nearly have to be 100% shooting accuracy against them. And then I suppose you kind of have to hope that a few of the Dublin forwards have off days, to be fair. Like, do you know, you could pinpoint, you have to mark Mannion, for me, is best footballer in the country. Mannion might have an off day, but Conor Callaghan's there. And you've Kilkenny, Dean Rock, and whoever is coming off the bench, you've Scully and Brian Howard, who are kind of more the grafters, but they always chip in with a score. Like, yeah. Scully's a great man to sneak in for a goal. Like,
I love that we're at a point where Dermot Connolly is like an afterthought.
Mm. Yeah.
Or even Cormac Coslow, who's
one of the most unluckiest footballers in the country, not to be starting, to be fair.
Do Kerry, I'm not as familiar with the Kerry defence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I think we're all getting to know this Kerry team outside of the county a little bit. Do they have like out and out man markers? You know, the way with the Mayo game, it was such a thing. The matchups was almost everything we were looking forward to. Thomas Sullivan, I think, is developing a good reputation as a man marker. Do they have others?
Yeah, well, like that. I think a lot of the Kerry defence, especially the defenders, they're young. They're kind of learning their trade as they go along, and a lot of them will be developing that skill as a man marker. I think Tom wouldn't have seen him as a man marker until this year. It was only in the league I was thinking, geez, he's our best man at it. He's been outstanding.
So would he go on Mannion? Is that how this works, or does he go on Conn, or? Can you get two?
We're trying to do the matchups earlier. Like,
are you running out of man markers when you start doing the matchups?
But that's the thing. Like, Dublin are very fluid as well. You could say, look, we'll put Tom on Mannion, and next thing Mannion goes into it. Like, they can move everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think as a defender, and I think Kerry, in fairness, they have the defenders to play in all the different positions, but they're learning their trade as well. And it's not going to be all plain sailing and people say, oh, Kerry defence is weak. It's not. It's just a few fellas have had tougher outings than others, you know, and it gets highlighted a bit too much. But
you know that spell in the Tyrone game where McShane has all this space?
Mm.
That was worrying because, you know, we're well into the season here. And that was give Dublin 10 minutes of that kind of thing and it's game over.
Yeah.
So that can't happen, I presume. It just can't happen, jeez, if it does again. But I would have said it shouldn't have happened against Tyrone.
No, it probably shouldn't have happened, but I suppose it won't happen against Dublin because Dublin won't be filtering bodies way back to field and Kerry won't be following. I think Dublin, similar to Kerry, will keep players up in their own path.
Unless they take a look at it and say, do you know what? 10 minutes in, I want you back. Let's see what they do. And if they leave 2-on-2 in there,
I don't think Kerry would be naive enough to do that against Dublin.
Okay.
Hope not.
What about midfield?
Who does
David Moran go on? Or does he just say, I'm not marking anyone as such?
David goes
Moran.
Out there and does his thing. Okay. I think Adrian Spillane, I'd assume, will partner him. And I think Adrian will probably go on Fenton.
Okay.
I think you have the two best midfielders in the country against each other. But I'd hope that they don't mark each other. Some people are going, oh, I'd love to see the battle.
Mm, yeah.
But it kind of negates both of them then at that stage. I'd like to see the both of them kind of going at it, but I don't expect them to mark each other.
Okay. Are you expecting a fairly free-flowing, open kind of a game?
Yeah, and I don't know, am I excited or worried about it? but I am. I just don't think it's in either their nature to try and shut up shop. Okay. I just think...
And there's no talking Kerry of them brewing up a Donegal 2011-esque... ambush like that.
I was told not to tell.
Because Dublin are fairly okay with that now.
Yeah.
Like if you come out and give it the old 14 men behind the ball, Dublin quickly assess the picture and say, grand, we know how this dance goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they have shown in the last couple of years they're happy to, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in, sort of reassess the situation and get a good look at the opposition.
They seem to stand back a little bit and just have a little look out post the goal, don't they?
Which is funny, like, because Gaelic football matches are just end-to-end a lot of the time. You don't really get that opportunity to have a little breather.
They seem to be that good that they can almost.
They do, yeah. I think Kerry could go a bit defensive in the first half to try and make sure that they're there or thereabouts and in the game for as long as possible.
Maybe five in a row comes into it the longer the clock goes on.
You see, Dublin, in terms of a knockout game, they haven't been brought to the edge of a game, the end of a game, since 2017.
Yeah.
You know, last year the Galway game won by 10, Tyrone game was pretty much over at half time. This year the game was over against Mayo after 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So they haven't been brought to the death in a knockout championship game in the last couple of years. So Kerry will need to bring them to that. So 60 minutes in, there's only a point or two in it. And then that'll probably test the Dublin players then to see how they handle it. And like from Kerry's perspective, they can't concede a goal in the first half. I mean, Dublin get a goal, the buzz and the support and the, you know, momentum that they get from that, they could get a second one just as easily. And Kerry need to outgoal Dublin on Sunday to win.
Okay.
Now, they are capable of doing that. I mean, you know, I think there'll be times in the game that they might have to turn down your handy 20-yard point, where you're going to play the extra pass or make the extra burst and try and get a goal chance.
Yeah,
they get three goal chances, Clifford, Geaney, Stephen O'Brien, they're capable of scoring the three of them.
Yeah.
You know, they got 118 against Tyrone, 120 against Donegal. They'll probably need 315 or something like that to beat Dublin.
Yeah.
But the problem is probably the rent.
Doesn't Andy Moore now say 20 points minimum now? I think Michael Murphy's upgraded that to about 24 at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be a plan if Dublin, you mentioned Dublin scoring a goal and what it does, and I was at the Mayo game, lots of people, I'm sure, listening were. There has to be like a plan. Dublin score a goal, and then they're like, there has to be operation, I've lost my contact lens, or something, if you're anyway savvy a team.
Or a head injury or something like that,
You have to, because like, that's when Dublin get their press on as well with the kick-outs. And like, you're never more vulnerable.
They go for a juggler.
Because
Fenton caught about two or three off that press as well, because there was nothing on short. And then Fenton saying, give it to me.
And that's wave after wave.
Well, that's it. And like you were saying earlier, like the noise level just increases. And if you're in goal, you're looking out and there's nothing, but you can't see the space.
Yeah.
So like
the air must go out of the stadium as a player in those moments.
Like whatever about the weather, it's always warm out in the pitch. It's just, you're just stuck, you're looking around, it's just noise and stuff like that. So look, I just think Kerry will have to, I think Dublin are going to try and get a goal early. Be honest, I think I do. I think that
they've been a bit sluggish in the summer.
They have
start,
been,
I'm sure they've spoken,
which
about
is unusual
that the last
for them.
Couple of weeks, like,
so I can see them going for it. And even my thinking was they'll try and go for it early. But even if it doesn't go in or over, or whatever, they're just going to try and push up. I think they're going to try and do it from a very early, because obviously Kerry are young, but they'll be trying to say, look, you haven't been here before.
It's very hard to prepare. Say you're Peter Keane and you're having a conversation like that. Like, these lads are young. It's going to be a scary kind of thing in some respects, or a new thing. There doesn't seem to be any way to accelerate the experience process and imbue them with some kind of game management knowledge there, or is there anything you can say in that environment?
No, I think like they just have to trust what's got them there. Like, I think that's one of the great things Peter's done this year. Like, despite all the experience that's gone, the young lads that have come in, and we were talking about, you know, your kind of set team of 8 or 9, 10 players, I think Kerry have that now. And that's given them boys confidence to not be afraid of making mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, don't be looking over your shoulder, because don't worry about it, just go again. I think that's a great thing for them going into this game, that Peter and the management team, they trust them. They believe in their abilities and they actually trust them to figure stuff out on their own on the field. I think that's a big thing for a player going out there, knowing that the management trust me, I'm not one mistake away from being whipped off.
Yes.
You know, I can keep doing.
It's just another game.
It's a game, Like, and like I said, like, I know a final is there to be won. Most realistic supporters wouldn't have expected Kerry to get there so quickly.
Shot to nothing. Treat it that way,
Like, there is that youthful exuberance with young players when you come in. Like, you're not probably thinking about the game as much as you would normally when you get into the latter end of your career. I remember 2002, there was four of us that got catapulted into the team from the 21s under Tommy Lyons. We went on a run playing in front of full houses, you know, against Meath and Kildare and Donegal and Armagh and the All-Ireland semi-final. And your naivety is nearly a bit of a positive, you know, because you're just going out and playing football every couple of weeks with a few of your mates, and you don't actually get bogged down. Yeah, you don't overthink it like that.
If I had to push you, Dublin by?
I think Dublin would be 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something similar? A bit more? A bit less?
I think it'll be tighter.
Okay.
I think it'll be very tight. I think if Kerry are to win it, they need Dublin to get affected by the 5 in a row.
Okay. I mean, it's still going to be intriguing, isn't it? Not to bring you down even more.
Oh, jeez.
How many All-Irelands will Dublin win in a row?
4.
What? Another 4?
Look, I was saying to someone recently, I said, Kerry, don't have to worry about the 5 in a row. It's just stopping the 6 and the 7.
Yeah.
So, like that. I do expect Kerry to stop the Dublin run.
Eventually.
Yeah, it just happens. When it happened.
Does Gavin go? Does he stay? There's a lot of unknowns as well.
Like you just
Jim
know.
Gavin and Stephen Cluxton are the two key people in my view.
Okay.
And they're both of them aren't going to go on forever. Mm. So if the two of them did leave over the same winter, I think that would give teams a lot of hope that the gap could be closed because of what each individual has done.
And sometimes that's all you need, a little glimmer of hope.
A glimmer of hope, yeah. Mm. They don't strike me as two men who'd be telling everyone down the pub their intentions.
No, they might even stagger their exits unintentionally, so there's a bit of a gap or something like that. Yeah, you never know with them. Yeah.
Lads, brilliant analysis. Thanks so much for coming in. You are in here to promote this new video courtesy of AIB, The Toughest Temptation. So what you did was you got 4 fans from Mayo, Kerry, Dublin, Tyrone, and you basically said to them, you've to give up watching the semi-final in order to win tickets to the All-Ireland final, and we get to watch them decide what to do. Now, my money straight away is on Dublin fan said, I'll take my All-Ireland final ticket, thanks very much. And the other 3 said, well, hang on. Mayo fan had to watch the semi-final, is my guess. Kerry and Tyrone, Kerry fans don't watch semi-finals anyway, so he took the final ticket.
Yeah.
And Tyrone, I'm not sure.
Interesting.
You know
what
happened. It was a good take, to be fair. You're not right, but it was a good take.
There was a logic. Yeah. People can watch that video if they check the @AIB_GA handle on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, or also AIB.ie/GA, and they can watch it there. Fellas, thanks so much. Sorry to make you relive 2011. We'll talk Man United the next time you're in.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Darren O'Sullivan, Barry Kyle, thanks a million, fellas. We're done.
GAA on Off the Ball.